Do keep that passage in front of you, and you should have a handout as well with the pack as you came in that's headed Equipped 5 Unstoppable Fruitfulness. Do fill in the blanks if you'd find that helpful to actively listen, and do take that away and reflect on it afterwards as well. Why do we serve as Christians? Why do we seek to serve God, to serve our families, to serve our church family, our community? It's a good question to ask this Sunday, isn't it, as we prepare for our annual meeting. Is it because we ought to serve? We have a duty to serve? Well, yes, we do have a duty to serve. We owe everything to the God who made us. But duty in itself cannot keep us going when it's tough. And actually, a sense of doing our duty can be dangerous because it makes us think God owes us something when actually God doesn't owe us anything at all. And if you're visiting today or if you're looking in on the Christian faith, and we love it when people do. This is often a mistake people make about the Christian faith. They think it's about serving God and doing our duty, even making ourselves acceptable to God, as if we could ever do that. As we'll see, that's not what the Christian faith is about at all. What about serving because we want to? Well, yes, that's wonderful when it happens. But what causes us to want to serve? And what if on a particular day we don't feel we want to? And what about when we feel we want to serve, but we know we don't have the strength or the ability to do it? Why do we serve? We're in the middle of a series of sermons called Equipped, thinking about the life of service as Christians, why we serve, and also some of the key truths that it's helpful to bear in mind as we do. So far, we've seen where it all begins, the need to repent and believe, and that when we do, we are children of God. And we've thought about two truths to share and sustain us, being cross-centered and the importance of the local church. And then last Sunday, we paused briefly to think about financial giving. And if you've missed any of those sermons, then you can catch up with them on the website or on YouTube. And today we're starting to think about stepping out in service, and in particular asking why. Why do we serve? And as I've thought about this question, I found the image of the vine in John chapter 15 incredibly helpful. We've thought about the image quite a lot over the years as we've thought about making disciples who make disciples. And we're going to dig deeper into the image today, and we're going to see that, as it says on the handout, as part of the vine, Jesus' body, we will live fruitful lives. Christian service will follow on from Christian discipleship as naturally as fruit grows on a vine. So first, let's think a bit more about the image. So verse 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Jesus says, I'm like a vine. And we might think, well, that's a strange thing to say, until we realize that Jesus often uses this kind of imagery to talk about himself and what he came to do. The Old Testament describes God's people, Israel, as a vine which bears no fruit. Isaiah chapter 5 talks about that. So Jesus is saying, I'm the true vine. I'm the true Israel, God's true son. But there's more. He talks about branches in verse 2, and then in verse 5 he says, you are the branches. His followers are branches of the vine, and by extension all who trust in him, Jew and Gentile, are branches of the vine. It's a wonderful image, isn't it? Particularly at this time of year as things are growing so quickly outside. I wonder who here has some kind of vine in your garden. One or two. We have bindweed. I don't know if that counts. But you can picture that vine, probably not the bindweed, but you can picture that vine through the sermon. And just think of how this image relates to and builds on the images we've seen before in the series. So 2 weeks ago, we thought of the church as the body of Christ. Christ is the head, we are the body. The big difference with this image is that Jesus isn't just the head, he's the whole thing. He fills the vine, he is the vine. And yet, we are the branches. We're getting a wonderful picture of the unity, the oneness between Jesus and his people, aren't we? In fact, what you get in this image is what's been called a mutual indwelling. We dwell in Jesus and he dwells in us. Just as in the life of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit dwell with each other and in each other, so those who trust in Jesus dwell with Jesus and in Jesus. I am the vine, you are the branches. How are we branches? Well, he tells us in verse 3, you are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. It's the word of God, which has been met by faith in our hearts, which has cleaned us, has brought us into the vine. Union with Christ by faith through the word of God. And if you're visiting or watching online and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, this is where it starts. Hearing God's word, hearing a sermon, maybe even today, reading the Bible, believing what you hear, and following Jesus as he's revealed. So we've got the vine, the branches, and the gardener. My Father is the gardener, says Jesus. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so it'll be even more fruitful. We've already mentioned God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in this image, God the Father is the gardener who tends the vine. He cuts off branches that don't bear fruit, and he prunes the branches that do. We'll think more about bearing fruit later, but just notice that even for those branches that are bearing fruit, it can be painful. I love pruning. In fact, it's one of the few jobs that I can actually do in the garden. And I love it because it's productive. It brings life and health. But if you're that branch being pruned, it's painful, isn't it? And it's helpful to notice that just because life is painful sometimes, just because things don't go the way we'd like, doesn't necessarily mean we've done something wrong. It doesn't mean we're outside of God's will. It might be the opposite, that God's pruning us, removing some of the imperfections so we can be even more fruitful. Well, as we close this first point, what's Jesus teaching us? How does our thinking need to change? Well, we've seen in previous weeks, we're children of God through faith. We're the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. But here's something even more intimate, mutual indwelling. Christ is the vine, we are the branches. You can't get much more intimate than that. I wonder if we think of ourselves in that way, and what difference it would make if we did. Second, the command, remain in Jesus by his words remaining in you. Given we're thinking about service, we'd expect the focus to be on bearing fruit, wouldn't we? That would be the obvious comparison. A branch bears fruit, a Christian serves. But look at the passage. Does Jesus command the branches to bear fruit? Does he at any point say, you must bear fruit? Yes or no? No. He gives a different command. And he says, if you obey this command, you will bear fruit. What's the command? Remain in the vine. You're a branch in the vine. Remain in me. So verse 4, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So you focus on remaining in me, remaining in the vine, and if you do, everything else will follow. And again, with the image of the vine, it makes sense, doesn't it? The key role of a branch is to remain in the vine. If it does that, everything else, growth, fruitfulness, follows. So the obvious question is, how do we remain? And what we find is the way in is the way on. We've already seen we're in the vine because of the word of God. You are clean because of the word I've spoken to you. We remain as we continue to hear the word and to obey it. Verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. We remain in Jesus as his words remain in us. As we read his word day by day, as we hear his word preached on a Sunday, as we meet in small groups to look at his word. And then crucially, and it's not on the reading, but verses 9 and 10, as we seek to obey his word. So Jesus says immediately after this passage, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. He's loved us. We respond by obeying, keeping his commands, and so remaining in his love. So to go back to the image of the vine, our job as branches is to remain in the vine. How do we do that? By continuing to receive the life-giving sap that flows through the plant. And for us, the sap is the living word of God. We need the living word of God to continue to flow in us and through us for us to remain in the vine. But there's another thing that keeps us in the vine, and that's God. We depend on God to keep us in the vine. Verse 4, remain in me as I remain in you. Verse 9, I have loved you. His love comes first. Later on, verse 16, you didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit. We have a responsibility to remain, but he will keep us. And again, the image of the vine is so helpful because the vine gives the branch the life-giving sap. It gives the branch all that it needs. The ultimate responsibility for keeping us in the vine lies with God. And that's great news. So the question at the end of this section is, have we realized the importance of the Word of God, the Bible, for keeping us in the vine, for our own spiritual life? Well, thirdly, the promise. If we remain in Jesus, we will bear fruit. Verse 4. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The key thing is to remain in Jesus, and if we do that, we will bear fruit. And again, the image of the vine helps us. Think of a vine in your garden, if you have one. If a branch remains in a vine and receives the life-giving sap, when the time comes, does it bear fruit? Yes. It's automatic. It's just what it does. Can you stop a vine bearing fruit? Can you stop any plant bearing fruit? No. And so with us, if we remain in Christ, we don't need to worry about it. It'll happen. What is the fruit? Well, it's certainly love, verse 9. It's certainly obeying his commands, as we've seen, verse 10. What about verse 7? If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. That's a big promise, isn't it? As we remain in Jesus, his words remain in us, we become more like him. Our priorities are more shaped by his. More and more we say, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. And as we ask for things in that way, he'll give them to us because they're according to his will. So part of the fruit is praying according to his will and receiving what we've prayed for. And that'll include new followers, people coming to faith as they see the difference Jesus makes to life. It'll include the fruit of the Spirit that Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 5. It'll include Christian service of all kinds. But how does this work? What does it look like in the life of a Christian? Today's Pentecost, when we remember the Holy Spirit coming upon God's people. So Jesus, and in that way, Jesus lives in his people by his Spirit. And we'll be thinking about it more next Sunday. But for now, as God's word is remaining in us and as the Spirit is living in us, so we'll be given desires, godly desires. We'll receive ideas, visions. It's been a great encouragement to me over the past few months to have two people leading different ministries coming to me with a vision for the future for their particular area of ministry. Or we'll have a sense that God wants us to serve in a particular area. We'll hear of a need and think, I could be involved in that. I should be involved in that. And in response to those things and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we will step out. And we're hearing today of people who've done that in terms of being a warden, in terms of being a church council member. We're all different personalities. Some of us are big picture people. We have dreams and ideas. Some of us are doers. We get on with helping with an idea that someone else had. Some of us are followers. We want to be part of a team. Someone else is gathering. Some of us are limited by life circumstances, so that what we can do is pray and talk on the phone, and those two things are hugely important. But for now, the key is this: as we remain in the vine, these things will bubble up within us, and in faith and obedience, we'll act on them. And by the way, if you have ideas for church life, do please share them. Don't assume someone else has had the idea or that it's not any good. God often gives the best ideas to people who aren't in formal leadership. And if you're passionate about something, then please talk to someone in the leadership about it. Fourth, very briefly, the goal is the Father's glory. Verse 8. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As we remain in the vine, as we bear fruit, so we're shown to be followers of Jesus. We're shown to be his people, rescued through his death. People can see it's God's work, and so God gets the glory. And that is the purpose of all things, isn't it? That is our final desire, our longing. If that happens, everything else fits into place. Whatever is going on in our lives, if God's getting the glory, nothing else matters. Well, as we close, let's apply what we've thought about, particularly on this Sunday as we have our annual meeting. Four quick areas. We've already appointed our church wardens. We'll shortly be appointing our church council members. And when they meet briefly afterwards, the church council will be approving or suggesting different people for different roles in the life of the church. How does what we've seen today speak into all of that? Well, it means for those elected or nominated today, for all of us in our different areas of ministry, the key thing is not our fruitfulness. It's certainly not the things we do. The key thing, the thing to focus on in the year ahead, is remaining in Jesus. By his words remaining in you. Please make that your priority as I make it my priority. If you do, you will bear fruit. Because remaining in Jesus will inevitably result in fruitfulness. Second, it may be that over the coming weeks, someone, perhaps you, is asked to consider a particular role. And incidentally, that in itself is a sign that that you might be suited to the role if someone asks you to consider it. And it may be you worry you won't do a good job and you're tempted to say no for that reason. Well, again, what does this passage tell us? That if we remain in the vine and Jesus' words remain in us, we will bear fruit. It's his work. It's not our work. Let's trust him. Thirdly, it may be there's someone who defines yourself by what you do. And there's a bit of that in all of us, isn't there? We're often encouraged to define ourselves by what we do. But hopefully this passage has helped us see that even if what we do is good, that's not enough. Just imagine for a moment, if you've got a vine in your garden and it's looking a bit unhealthy, So you go to the shops, you buy some grapes, you bring them home, and you staple them to the vine. So that anyone who happens to come into the garden now that we're allowed to welcome people into our gardens can see the beautiful grapes and say, what a wonderful vine. It'd be crazy, wouldn't it? But isn't it a bit like that when we try to project an image of fruitfulness, of doing good things? It's easy to pretend everything's fine when under the surface there could be all sorts of things going on. How much better to focus on what gives the vine life? Jesus. Jesus who forgives, Jesus who cleanses, Jesus who welcomes and accepts and gives life. Finally, is there ever a place for asking, am I bearing fruit? Well, I think there is. There is a place for it because bearing fruit is the evidence that we're in the vine, that we're remaining in Jesus and his words are remaining in us. And the consequences of not are serious, aren't they? Verse 2, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. So it's fine to ask the question, although if you are asking the question, that in itself is a sign that you are in the vine. What's more concerning is the person who never asks the question, who never thinks about the fact they should be bearing fruit. The sign of being in the vine is that we long to know Jesus, to remain in Jesus, for his words to remain in us, and that we bear fruit. We can't make it happen, only he can. But is that what we long for? Well, we've covered lots of ground. There's lots to go away and think about. There are some questions to reflect on at the end of the handout, and I do encourage you to think about those. But let me close with the summary that we started with. As part of the vine, Jesus' body, we will live fruitful Christian lives. Christian service will follow on from Christian discipleship as naturally as fruit grows on a vine. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this wonderful, true image of the vine. We thank you that in your wisdom you created vines to show us something of the relationship between you and your people, the mutual indwelling, that we are in you and that you are in us by your words dwelling in us. And we pray that you would help us this year to make it our goal, our objective, to remain in the vine as your words remain in us. And thank you that as we do that, we will bear unstoppable, glorious fruit. Amen.